I want you to open your Bibles, please, to, thank you, team, to the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul is writing to a group of people that many say he never met. And for those who do much help with families or counseling or direction, family direction, spiritual formation, Ephesians is a powerful book because in this book, the very first chapter, the Apostle Paul tells us how he prays for the Ephesians. And these are obviously Jews that have made Jesus Lord of their life, because he points out in his writing that they are not to act like Gentiles. Everybody say, don't act like a Gentile. If that was said in our day and time, it would be considered racist. But that's what he said. He said, don't act like a Gentile, because they don't think good. They're not creative in their thinking. They're bound by lust and evil desires. And the more I see our country move forward in this day and time, I have a tendency to agree with him. Because us Gentiles have some really bizarre ideas. When we have folks standing up in meetings and saying of babies that to survive because of climate change, we're going to have to eat children, I don't care if it is just one. That's like a virus. It'll catch because it's a spirit. Is everybody listening? The thing that the enemy wants to destroy among us is he wants to destroy the power of the family. He doesn't like your family. He doesn't like your leadership, Dad. He doesn't like it when you teach your children right. He wants to destroy that. The family is not the final institution. The church is. The church is the ultimate institution, but families make up that church. Are you hearing me? And I don't care how old you get. As long as you live, you are somebody's son or daughter. As long as you live, you are somebody. If you have had children, you will be mama and daddy. And I don't care how long you live. They can be older and they can be on Social Security and they're still your child. And you will still influence them. It's great to teach our children how to do things. Throw balls, play ball, shoot a basket. How to shoot a gun and go hunting and enjoy things. I heard someone say this past week as he was talking, obviously, to another family member. He said, I don't understand why people are more concerned about trying to try the latest wine when God has provided so much more for us to see and do. He said, I want my children to see the world as much as I can show them. Families have changed, ladies and gentlemen. Do you remember families when you were a child? How cohesive that group was? No, everybody didn't get along all the time. And having a great family is not that families get along all the time, every time. In fact, sometimes we get angry at one another. Okay, there's a few admitting it. In fact, in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, prior to the scripture we're going to read, he says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, he said, get angry, but get over it. Say that with me. Get angry, but get over it. Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't get angry, then there's something missing inside of us. If we don't get angry, then there is something missing to protect us. It's called self-preservation, and protect our children. Anger is not a bad thing, because anger is motivated by, what have I taught you? Anger is motivated by love. But you get over that anger quickly. Well, how can you be so angry and just change? Well, when I know I'm right, why not? You're not hurting my wife. You're not hurting my children. You're not hurting somebody I love. I will do my best to bring you down. And when I get you down, I'll pray for the Lord to heal you and save you and change your life so I don't have to do that anymore. It's good preaching, Dr. B. There is something that we need to understand about God's word. There's not a whole lot in the scripture that teaches us about family. There's a few places that it mentions family, but most of it seems like it's talking about our relationship with the world, or at least that's what we think. But if our Christian living isn't modeled at home, don't export it. If it doesn't work in your house, don't try taking it down the street. I want you to read the scripture with me in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin at verse 29. Now, a few verses ahead of that, the Apostle Paul says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be kind and gentle with one another. I want you to be nice to one another. Now, he's telling Christians this. But immediately after this chapter, and we're going to see it, he begins to talk about the family. And ladies and gentlemen, some of the toughest people in the world to be kind and nice to are family members. I'm preaching good. I don't care what you see. Read this with me. This is how he wants us to conduct ourselves as a family. If you don't have your Bible with you, look up on the screen and read it out loud with me. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, around your family, for some reason we have this thing in our mind, in our heart, that says, well, I can let my hair down around my family. What does that mean? Does that mean letting down all of your Bible walk go out the window? And just talk any old way and tell any old kind of joke and be ugly in your communication. But it's funny. Remember that. Also remember, your children, the first ones they've heard talk ugly like that are you. And then when they start watching television programs that are crude and lewd, and you try to straighten it out and say, we're not going to watch that, they're going, we talk like that. Why not watch it? This past week, I heard a child ask the parent, "What the F are you doing?" And the parent goes on like nothing has happened. There is something sorely wrong with the management of the house that permits that. But I realized immediately the reason the child said that is because it was taught it was okay at home. Wow. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful. If it doesn't help them, well, I just believe in saying whatever. If it's not helpful, here's the Greek word for hold your peace, shut up. Yeah, but you know, if you hold it in, no, it'll die and it'll go away. You don't need to say it. Some children, the first person on the planet that they learned was stupid was mama. Wow, this is good. The first person they learned was a dumbbell was daddy. That kind of stuff grieves the Holy Spirit. He can't work in a house like that. Well, Pastor, from time to time he comes, it's because you repented of those things and made it right for a while and you've not been doing it, and he can work. But then you start back up and he takes leave. Watch this. We're going to verse 31. Read with me. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Well, I thought you said it was okay to be angry. It's that homestead anger that just stays there and seethes. Have you seen folks that just get angry at stuff at home? Years and years and years and years ago, and I can share this because all of these people have gone to be with the Lord. They made it right. But there was a wife, I met with her and her husband years ago. She held anger toward her husband, listen to this, for 27 years. Twenty-seven years they stay married and slept in separate bedrooms and lived like college kids in a dorm. The Lord was able to change that home. And I remember when that wall was broken down, I saw them several months later. And the wife ran up to me and hugged me. She said, "It's been like a honeymoon ever since the breakthrough. I want to thank you." I said, "Ma'am, don't thank me. Thank the Lord because you learned." He said, "Let all bitterness, rage, and anger, let it go." Why? Why are we going to let this go? Let rage, anger, brawling, slander. "I can't believe I married you. You're just as stupid as your mom and daddy." With every form of malice. Malice can begin in a family. Be kind. Read it with me. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Oh, she can get it herself. Oh, Larry. And do you, everybody look this way. The most dangerous words that can come out of a married couple's mouths are these words. we've been married so long, it doesn't matter anymore. I'd like to check on your relationship with Jesus. Is your relationship with Jesus like that? Oh, I've been a Christian so long, it just doesn't matter anymore. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Read it. Forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. What did he forgive you of? Bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, malice. And he's been kind and compassionate toward you. Amen. Eugene Peterson said it like this. Read it with me. Watch the way you talk. Read it out loud. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. Boy, isn't that great. Read. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. See, because he lives inside me, I want to be careful how I treat her. I want to be careful how I treat my children. But Pastor, your children are grown. They're not there anymore. It doesn't make any difference. I'm still their dad. I'm still connected. Wow. We're reading Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 29 in the Message. Watch this. We're going to verse 21. Read it with me. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Don't cut people down. Don't cut your wife down. Don't cut your husband down. Don't cut the kids down. A mother wrote me one time and said, please pray for my son. His grandfather told him he would never amount to anything because he wasn't the seventh son of the seventh son. And this guy claimed to be a Christian. And he told him, he said, boy, you just need to just realize you're never going to be anything. Do you know where that young man wound up? Drug rehab. Words take root. And you may be just a grandparent. Just, but what you say to that grandchild will break its heart or reinforce it. Read it again. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Well, it's going to take me a while to get over that. You're not walking in the love of God. I just feel his love here today. And I'm sure you experienced the same thing. When Dad went to be with the Lord, I didn't have to ask him to forgive me of anything I'd said. He didn't have to ask me to forgive him. Forgive quick and move on. Yeah, but you know, the Lord will heal you. How do I apply this? Well, first, I want us to just break it down and put it in everyday language. Simply put, our family should practice productive communication. Nothing foul or dirty, only that which is helpful. Did you hear me? This is not Dr. Burrell. This is the Word of God. Everybody say the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be sick to go be with the Lord. There are a lot of bodies in the mortuaries that were in car accidents. There are a lot of bodies today that are in the mortuary that were out running the track, that thought they were healthy, that dropped dead. You want to make sure you live this way. And you want to make sure that your children there's no need to dedicate children if we dedicate them and then go home and have no parameters and no structure and no guidelines. And the guidelines and the structure and the parameter begins right here. And here is the dangerous point with families in the 21st century. I couldn't believe this came out of a gentleman's mouth. He said, I know my kids are doing things that are bad, but I did too, and I didn't turn out too bad. I had the measles. I don't want my kids to get the measles. I've had the flu. I don't want anybody else to get the flu. Simply put, our family should practice productive communication. And secondly, a communication style free of cutting words, backbiting, and profane talk. Be careful how you talk about other people. You don't want your children hearing you talk badly about other people. Why? They have sensitive... Miss Dance in the first grade, I'll never forget, she'd say, be careful what these little antennas get. I can hear her right now. These antennas, you be careful what they pick up. I want a productive communication. I want a communication style that's free of cutting words, free of backbiting, free of profane talk. Yeah, but I just felt bad. It's not your husband's fault. It isn't your wife's fault. It's not the children's fault. They didn't make your employer scream at you. Is this helping anybody? Simply put, our family should practice being gentle. There's nothing wrong with spanking proper. I didn't say beating. I don't care what society says. Spanking isn't wrong. But you never do it in anger. Punishment is to correct. It is not a penalty. It is something used to correct. Be gentle. Why is it we can be gentle with them out there in the world, but we get home and we scream at everybody? Be gentle, be sensitive. Oh, stop being such, you need to get it. I'm not talking about crying over every little thing that goes on and having you feel, I'm not talking about that kind of sensitivity. I'm talking about being sensitive when your child says, Dad, this is happening at school. Oh, just grow up and suck it up. I had things to deal with too. Shut up and listen. Am I helping anybody? Number five, be quick to forgive. Yeah, but if I do all that, then everybody think I'm just blowing smoke. There are some things you need to understand about this. And this is what I want to leave you with. Doing all of these things back here, that's not blowing smoke, ladies and gentlemen. How do I know it's not blowing smoke? You're only blowing smoke when your lifestyle isn't godly. You're only blowing smoke when you're not motivated by the love of God. You're not blowing smoke by living in the love of God. You're only blowing smoke when you try to manipulate or control. And I've heard them. You go in there and talk to them. You go, because, Angie, when you go in there, you can turn your charm on and you know how to say it. And you can, that's manipulation. Oh, you know what? You're so, look at that face. How could anybody say no to that face? Man, you go in there and talk to them. You know how to talk to them. Have you ever heard that before? You know, like, we only blow smoke if our lifestyle isn't godly. We only blow smoke when we're not motivated by the love of God. We only blow smoke when we try to manipulate or control. Amen. We only blow smoke when we don't practice this in all situations. If I only practice this out there among them, I'm blowing smoke. But if I'm practicing Ephesians 4 at home, when I go out and I'm kind and gentle and sensitive to other people, I'm not blowing smoke. Well, how do you know they're not blowing smoke? The Lord will let you know. I've had the Holy Spirit said, be careful, they're hoodooing you. You mean you've really had it? Yes, sir. I've had the Holy Spirit just go, be careful. They're blowing smoke. So what do I do? How do I make this work in my home? Number one, make Jesus Lord of your life. Number two, make His Word the final authority in your home. Number three, don't stop when you mess up. Correct it and start over. This is how we have parental guidance in the home. And you always need it. And even when they get older, they'll call you and they'll say, I just need some godly direction. Can I talk to you? And you listen, and you listen. And they answer their own question, and they see the answer themselves, and before they hang up, they say, man, you really helped me when you didn't do a thing. We're in need of parental guidance in the United States. We're in need of wisdom. We're in need of godly direction. And it begins with our homes. want you to think about, I want you to take Ephesians 4, and I want you to go home, and I want you to begin to put this into practice. Today. And see, when the kids move out, and there are no kids at home anymore, if you want her to like living with you, and if you want to like living with her, you're going to need to apply these things. In your senior years. It never stops. You can always apply it. I want you to stand, please. No wonder the apostle wrote, or the psalmist wrote, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight." We create atmospheres in our home. By the way, we talk to one another, whether there are children there or not, we create atmospheres. The atmosphere for receiving, or the atmosphere for missing out on what God has. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, the greatest honor and privilege on the planet is to get up and say, "This is what the Lord said." Because this is your word, not mine. Heavenly Father, I pray for every man, every woman in this house. I pray for the children in Children's Church in the nursery. I pray that the peace of God settles over their house. And Father, we understand family dynamics, and we understand how those family dynamics are created. What we want to do, Father, is we want to make sure that we create the godly family dynamic where your presence can work in our house. It doesn't mean we can't laugh and have fun and play games and play sports and be involved in things in the community and things outside the home, things outside of the church. But we always, Father, have in our home standards. That constitution of the kingdom that we keep teaching, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that we live by. And that we remember these things, Heavenly Father, that we're to be gentle and not backbiting and foul, profane. Father, we can try to change the meaning of those words, but they don't change. They remain the same. And may we begin to exemplify as believers this kind of lifestyle. And if there is a person in this house that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord of their life, today, Father, we're going to pray with them. We're going to lead them in a prayer, and they can pray it right where they are right now and begin the process for changing their life, their home, right now. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Just in case there's somebody here that has gotten away from the Lord or doesn't know the Lord, would you pray it with me? In the name of Jesus, Father, I've heard your word. And I realize that none of this will work in my life without Jesus being my Lord. Today, I make Jesus Lord of my life. I make His word the final authority in my life. And His word said, He was crucified for my sins and raised from the grave to justify me, to make me as though I had never sinned. And I thank you today that I believe He did that. Therefore, I make Him my Lord. And today, the Holy Spirit is my teacher and my guide, and He will open up the Word of God to me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining our service today. If you'd like to donate, we have many ways for you to give. You can text Zion and the amount to 73256. Visit us online at zionca.org or send by mail to Zion Christian Assembly, 258 Beartooth Parkway, Suite 130, Dawsonville, Georgia 30534. For more resources and information on our church, visit zionca.org.